the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science.
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 196 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring Cat Wife by the Lights Out radio program. I am your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in the Treasure Valley. Hey there, it's good to be with you. Good to be bringing you another one of these old time radio journeys. And for this one, I was inspired by a recent movie that Rich Anklevich, that Rich Outfield and I recently watched together and recorded an episode for the Outfield Excursions about cat people, the Val Lewton film from 1942. Which I actually just put up on Patreon last week. As we were recording and talking about that movie, this episode of Lights Out came to my mind. I thought, maybe it's about time I share that with my audience here on the Journey Into podcast, because it kind of, in a way, coincides with cat people. In the movie, there's a young couple that falls in love, but the woman in the film is living in America, in New York, but has Serbian heritage, and she's haunted by this legend of her people. She was descended from a group of people who had become wicked and evil, and the women became witches and took the form of cats. And if they felt strong emotions, especially those of passion, that she would become like a panther and kill her husband. So she was afraid of that, and so that's kind of derived. That's where a lot of the drama and intrigue are derived for this movie. Now, Cat Wife, you have a married couple. They're more of an older married couple, kind of a bickering older couple. So it's a different dynamic than this young couple. And there's no heritage, there's no Serbian folklore or anything that explains where the link to cats comes from. But I'm getting ahead of myself. You have to hear this story for yourself. It's one of those. I have thought about playing this previously on the podcast. I didn't realize I've played very few episodes of Lights Out. Lights Out was a program that was started back in 1933 by Willis Cooper. And it was all based around, you know, horror, supernatural, not always, but most of the time. And it played at like 12:30 at night on the radio. So it wasn't meant for the kids or the faint of heart. After a while, Cooper left that radio show to go on to bigger and better things. He would eventually come back in the 40s and do the Quiet Please radio program, which continued his unique storytelling style. And, you know, he really set the stage for what old-time radio, especially horror-related old-time radio, would be. After he left, Arch Obler, who was a younger guy, very ambitious, very gregarious, kind of reminds me of a Stan Lee type character. Not exactly his personality, but his gregariousness and showmanship
points of his personality remind me of Stan Lee. Very outspoken, very would never hesitate to promote his show or his craft, and would become quite famous for Lights Out throughout his career. According to Wikipedia, in June of 1936, Obler wrote his first script for Lights Out, and it was titled Burial Service, and it was about a paralyzed girl who was buried alive, which caused quite a stir from the radio listening audience of the time. And I don't believe that that episode has survived or been redone. I'll have to look into that. That would be an interesting story to listen to as well. But the second script that he wrote for Lights Out was Catwife. And it has also become famous over the years, or infamous, and was redone at various times throughout the run. Eventually, Arch Obler left Lights Out as well. But then in 1942, Obler came back and revived the series that aired on CBS, and it was more of a primetime show than a late night show. But he re-recorded or re-presented a lot of the scripts from the original run. The production that you're going to hear today is from this revival series from 1942 of Catwife. And this time around, it was retitled a little bit to Lights Out, Everybody. So now, without further ado, come with me and let's journey into the city apartment where strange, unsettling things can happen.
Do you sincerely believe that if your husband were to kiss you, you would change into a cat and rend him to bits?
I don't know him. I'm only afraid.
And if I were to kiss you?
Wondered why cats randomly bite your hand when petting them? Well, here's why. Sometimes the repetitive stroking stimulates hunting behavioral instinct.
Everybody wants to be a cat, because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at. When petting guys, he always has a welcome mat. Everybody makes a swinging cat.
Arch Obler's Lights Out, Everybody. It is later than you think.
This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you, these Lights Out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now.
Cat Wife.
Well, yeah, your husband will be tanned down here in a minute. Come on, Quinny, we better blow out of here.
Yeah, I guess we better
No, don't go. Don't go. I don't want to be alone. Oh,
what do you mean, alone? Your husband's in the next room, ain't he?
Oh, that guy. What does he know about having fun? Work, work, work. Makes me sick where I've never been sick before. Oh, come on, kid. Stick around. Let's have some more fun. Oh, you can't stop me. Oh, see, have the most marvelous
Linda, for heaven's sake, Linda.
devil. Hiya, Johnny boy. Come on in. The water's fine.
Only it ain't water.
It ain't water.
Linda, for heaven's sake, I'm trying to work.
Oh, go away. Go away. You're spoiling my party. Throw him out of here, Kenny. He's only my husband.
Get out of here, you. Take that other woman with you. Go on. Clear him. Come on.
No, wait. Don't listen to him. It's my house.
You kick them out. My friends, you kick them out.
Linda, haven't you any consideration at all? I begged you, pleaded with you to try to keep these people out of the house while I'm getting some work done. And you persist in doing just the opposite.
You kick them out. My friends.
Yes, I kicked them out and I'll do it again every time I find them here. They're no good. You've given me your word time and time again to give them up.
I'll call them all back. You can't tell me what to do. Not me. They're my friends, mine. I'd give a dozen of you for one of them.
All right, Linda. If that's the way you feel, I guess you and I have finally come to the end of the road. You haven't got a grain of loyalty in you. All I ask is a little peace and quiet in my own home, and I can't even have that.
Go away.
Night after night, you and those people yowling and screaming like a pack of alley cats. And you the worst of all. I'm through, Linda. I'm through with you for good.
Oh, no, you're not.
Keep away from me. Keep away. Oh, Linda.
See? You're not through with me at all. You'll never be through with me.
Linda.
No, let me go. I don't want you, you fool. You're not through with me. I'm through with you.
No, Linda.
I'm tired of you. Do you hear me? I'm tired of you. I'm going to get so far away from that smug face of yours that I couldn't see it with a telescope.
Linda, my wife.
Your wife. Why do you think I married you?
I thought you loved me.
I married you because I was sick of working in a two-bit barbershop, because I was sick of living in a hall bedroom wearing bargain sale dresses. I wanted dough, plenty of it, all I could get. And you were the best chance to get it that came my way.
No, Linda, you did love me. You must have loved me.
I loved you about as much as that canary out there loves its cage. I told myself I'd stay with you a year, divorce you, stick you for plenty of alimony, and then get out.
But we've been married 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. Because you fooled me. That's why.
I fooled you?
Yeah. Huh. You started to make a lot of money. More money than I ever thought you could make. So you're giving me the air, huh?
No, Linda. I love you. I'll always love you. I didn't mean what I said.
Well, I did.
Oh, Linda, don't leave me. You're no good. I know you're no good, but heaven help me, I love you. I'll never love anybody else.
Get out of my way.
No, I won't let you go. You've got to stay.
Keep your hands off me.
You're no good. You've cost me my self-respect. But you'll stay with me. You'll stay with me. Or I'll cut you off without a cent. You won't get a dime from me. Not a dime. Stop that. Stop that.
Oh, you Sam. You fat-headed Sam.
Stop that.
You're going to cut me off without a cent, are you? Oh, you fool. I've got everything that belongs to you now. You hear me? Everything.
What are you talking about? What are you saying?
This house. It's in my name, isn't it? The car. It's in my name, isn't it?
I know, but... Oh, no, you wouldn't.
Oh, wouldn't I? Well, listen to this, my darling husband. I cleaned out the bank account yesterday.
No.
Every cent of it. I won't be in the street. You will. Now, this is my house. Get your things and get out of here.
I'll kill you.
No, stop.
I'll kill you.
You come near me. Let me go. Let me go. Ah! Oh. You touch me again, I'll tear your eyes out.
You cat.
Get out of my way.
That's what you are, a cat. A big, white, heartless cat. You think like one. You screech like one. You claw like one. You even look like one. A cat. That's what you are, a great white cat. I didn't marry a woman. I married a cat.
Keep it up. Keep it up. You're doing swell.
Laugh at me. Go on, laugh at me. But you're a cat. A sneaking, yowling cat.
That's enough of that. You stop saying it.
A cat. A cat. You hear me? A cat.
Stop staring at me like that. Stop staring at me. John. What's happening to me? John. My head. I can hardly see. John, help me. John.
Linda.
What are you staring at? What are you staring at? What are you... Meow!
Linda. Linda. Oh!
Oh, now, John, you've got to control yourself. Everything will be all right.
Oh, Doctor. What have I done? What have I done?
John, please, pull yourself together. You're not entirely to blame for what's happened.
What do I do? I did it. I'm to blame.
Stop talking like that. It's preposterous to say you're to blame. She was hysterical, John. And the suggestion that she was a cat caught her in an unguarded moment and resulted in a temporary neurosis.
Oh, Doctor, she's got to get well. She's got to.
Of course, she'll be all right. A little rest, quiet, and in a few days it'll all be forgotten.
Is she sleeping?
Yes. I gave her a sedative. She's resting very comfortably.
Can I go in and see her?
But I tell you, she's sleeping, John.
I know, but... Oh, I've got to see her. I've got to look at her. I've got to make sure she's all right. Don't you see? I've got to make sure.
Now, John, please. You've had a hard time of it. You'd better get to bed and get some rest.
Oh, no, Doctor, listen to me. I've got to see her again. I've got to make sure that she's all right. I can't rest until I know.
Well, I tell you. Oh, very well. Just for a moment.
Yes.
Be very quiet.
Yes.
There. You see? She's resting very nicely.
Doctor, look.
What?
Her hands. Look at her hands.
They're claws.
And her teeth. Her teeth. Linda.
No, 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 John. You're waking her.
Linda! Listen to her.
Steady, John.
I can't stand it. I tell you, I can't stand it. She's Linda. She's my wife, my beautiful wife. Linda. Linda.
Sorry, John.
It's all right. I guess I'm going a little crazy myself. What's happening to her? What is it?
I don't know, John. I don't know.
Listen to her. You've got to do something, Doctor. You've got to. You're my friend. You've got to help me.
What? In the name of all that's rational, what?
Well, think. There must be something you can do. A drug, something, anything.
Oh, John, I don't know what to say. I can't think. I'll call in someone else. That's it. I'll inform the authorities. They'll take care of everything.
No, no, wait.
What's the matter? What is it?
You're going to inform the authorities?
Yes. Yes, of course, John. Don't you see it's the simplest way out?
Way out?
Of course. For you and for me.
What do you mean?
John, this horrible thing that's happened to Linda, it goes beyond just you and me. It goes beyond the normal into the supernatural. Everyone should know about it. The world should know about it. Science.
You mean you're going to let everybody know what's happened to Linda?
Of course I am.
But you argue that. She's my wife. Do you hear me? My wife.
No, no, no. Now, don't get excited again, John. Listen sensibly. We owe it to science.
Science? Who cares about science? She's Linda. She's my wife, and I cursed her to God to send her into a yowling beast. It's my shame, mine. And you're not going to tell a living soul about it. No one, you hear me? No one.
It's my duty, John. I must inform the authorities.
No, no. Keep away from that phone. Keep away, I say.
I'm sorry, John.
Oh. John, my friend.
No, no. Try to sleep, darling. Try to sleep. Yes, yes, I know, darling. But it's almost morning. You must rest. Sleep, Linda. Sleep, my beloved. All right, darling. I've got to be strong. I've got to help you. And I did help you. He was going to tell them about you. Everyone. They'd have taken you away from me, locked you up, pointed at you, laughed at you. But I stopped him, Linda. I stopped him for you. He called me friend. But you're my wife, my beloved, and I love you. I've pleased you, haven't I, my darling? I never could please you before, could I? And now I've pleased you. I killed him, Linda. I killed my friend to save you. And if anybody comes, I'll say he never came here. And no one will know, darling. No one but you and I. What is it, darling? What's the matter? Why are you getting up? What is it? Why go to the window? What do you want? Oh, if I could only understand you, if I could only know what you're trying to say to me. Oh, no! Oh, Linda! Linda, stop! I beg you, stop! Linda, beloved, stop! 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 Stop!
Yes, I'm coming.
Good morning, Mr. Taylor.
Oh, it's you.
I found this note saying you wanted to talk to me. Gee, I hope you're not going to quit taking milk from me, Mr. Taylor. I know I've been kind of late with deliveries the last couple of days, but you see, it's my
heart. No, I'm not going to stop taking milk. That's what I want to see you about. I want milk, more milk, cream, everything.
Oh, sure. How much do you want?
Four bottles of milk. No, six.
Six?
Yes, and cream. Six bottles of cream.
Is something wrong, Mr. Taylor?
Wrong? Why do you think something's wrong?
Well, I only meant...
You meant what? Speak up! You meant what?
Well, now don't get sore, Mr. Taylor. I just meant, well, you don't look too good, and... Well, you know how it is. Sometimes a fella has a couple too many, and he starts ordering all the milk in the world.
I'm not drunk. You want to sell me that milk, or do I have to get another milkman?
No, I'll get it for you.
Hurry.
Six quarts, six cream. Only him and his old lady. The guy's nuts.
Drink the milk, my beloved. Please. But you haven't eaten anything. You're hungry. You must be hungry. Oh, my darling, what do you want? I'll get you anything, anything. Just eat. No, I can't let you out of the room. I can't. Someone might come to the door. They'd see through the windows. Oh, be patient, Linda, darling. I'll think of something. Drink the milk for your own good, Linda. Please. No, dearest. Don't do that. All right, dear. All right. I'll let you into the dining room. But you've got to stay away from the windows. Someone should see you. Here. Let me carry you. Okay? All right, darling. All right. I won't. Go yourself. Go yourself. You see, my darling, your pretty living room. Everything in it just the way you fixed it. Everything. Oh, Linda, this horrible thing that's happened to us. I tell myself it isn't real. I'll wake up soon and everything will be the way it used to be. You and I. Linda, where are you? Oh, Linda, don't go, Linda. Linda! Don't touch my bird! Linda! Linda! Could you do it? Oh, could you do it?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Taylor. Early again this morning, ain't you?
Good morning.
Ever since you sent your wife to the country, my first customer every morning for the last 3 days you've been. Like I was saying to my wife this morning, I said...
Yes, Mr. Heinrich, some other time. I'm in a hurry. My order, please.
Yeah, but you ain't give me no order yet. How about a nice steak, what you can broil?
No, nothing like that.
But you broil a steak? Ach, I tell you, that's nothing. When my wife, she goes to the country, that's what I always make for myself. You lay the steak in the pan and then you light the...
I'm in a hurry, I tell you.
Yeah, all right. You don't have to get so high blood pressure, Mr. Taylor. If you will tell me what you want, by God, yeah, I'll give it to you.
Well, I don't know exactly. A couple of pounds of liver. Yes, that's it. Fresh liver.
What? Again?
You heard me.
Sure, I heard you. But, by golly, for 3 days, ever since your wife, she went away, you eat nothing but liver.
Are you going to fill my order?
Yeah, sure. I will fill your order. There. Did you ever see such nice, fresh liver, huh? Oh, 2 pounds? Jawohl. There we are. By golly, it could be you was raising a cat or something.
Why do you say that?
Well, every day you buy liver. This morning I catched a couple of mouses in a trap. Maybe you like to take them along for the cat too, huh?
Don't say that! Don't say that!
Mr. Taylor, the liver you forgot. By golly, that man is verrückt. Now, what did I say that was wrong? Cats like to eat mouses.
Oh, my Linda. My dearest Linda. Close to me. Oh, my darling. It's better this way. You can't leave me now. I'll have you with me always. I'll keep you here. Just you and I. I won't answer it. They'll go away. All right. I'll answer it. No.
stay here, my beloved. They mustn't see you. Be very quiet. Be very quiet. Yes, yes, I'm coming, I'm coming. Well, what is it? What is it?
Are you the owner of this building?
Yes, what do you want?
Kerrigan is the name. I'm your neighbor. I've got that place across the alley from you.
Neighbor?
Yeah, Kerrigan is my name. I'm with the department.
The department?
Yes. I'm desk sergeant at the 3rd District Station.
The policeman?
Yes. I'm off duty today, so I thought I'd drop over and speak to you. Do you mind if I step in for a moment?
Step in?
Oh, no, no, not at all. Not at all.
Thank you. Yes, you got a nice place here.
Yes, yes, nice. Very nice.
You know, the same contractor's made this place as made mine. You didn't know that, I'll bet.
No, I didn't.
Yes. Irishman by the name of Gil Hooley. He put up all these bungalows along here on nothing but Blarney and the shoestring. Jumped out of the story window, they tell me, the day after the stock market crash. Lucky for him. If he was alive now, some of the people around here that bought places for him would murder him. What with the trouble they're having?
Trouble?
Say, now, speaking of trouble, reminds me why I come over. If you don't mind, I'll tell you.
Yes?
No, it ain't me that's complaining, Mr. Taylor. I'm the kind of man that can sleep in a boiler factory. But it's me, Katie. Ah, there's a light sleeper for you. I always say that if a star in heaven twinkles too much, the noise wakes up me, Katie.
What? What is the trouble?
Well, you know how the women are. Always finding something to make a fuss about. Hey, I'm not disturbing her, am I? Yeah. You know, you're missus. She's not sleeping in the bedroom there, is she?
No, no, of course not. There's no one in there.
I thought maybe seeing the door is closed.
Oh, no, I tell you, there's no one in there. My wife, she's out of town.
Oh, well, that's fine, that's fine. I always like to talk things over man to man without the women around. The women are all right, I says, but they don't know how to straighten our little troubles with neighbors without calling names and pulling hair.
Oh, what is it? What's wrong? What do you want to tell me?
Well, to put it plain, it's the cat.
Cat?
Yeah, the cat. You just got it, didn't you?
You heard a cat?
Yeah. It started a few nights ago. Now, it ain't just a mean one, like I said, but Miss Katie, well, you see our bedroom window faces right on the alley. And by golly, she hears every meow that animal makes.
You're wrong.
Eh?
I have no cat.
But me, Katie, heard. I heard it too, for that matter.
I have no cat.
But I'm telling you, it come right from this house.
I tell you, I have no cat. Isn't that sufficient?
Well, now, seeing as you put it so plain, I'll be speaking up plain myself. I'm telling you, I heard a cat yowling last night, and the night before, and the night before that. And as sure as my name's Thomas Kerrigan, they come right to this house. Now, what do you say to that?
Get out.
Now, wait a second, Nabucco. Wait a second. Don't get on your high horse.
Get out.
Well, now, see here. I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just thinking maybe the animal's caught in your cellar without you knowing it. Now, if you let me go down...
Tell you, there's no cat here. Get out. Get out of here.
Oh, it's like that, is it?
You heard me. Get out of my house.
Well, you sure are making a lot of noise about nothing, young fella. But it's your house, and if that's the kind of neighbor you want to be, I get...
What? What are you standing there for? Get out! Get out!
Now, just a minute. Take it easy. No cat, eh? Well, what was that I just said?
Nothing at all! You've got no right
to... Sir, you may not be a liar, but you sure are something close to it. If that ain't a cat in that bedroom there, then I ain't never heard one.
Get out of here!
Oh, no, I won't. Listen to that cat. If that ain't creating a public nuisance, I'd like to know what it is.
It's none of your business. This is my house. Get out of here.
Now, stop pulling at me, Bucco. I may be off duty, but I'm still an officer of the law. And I'm telling you, that cat, you got an ill violating the city ordinance. Now, if you don't make it shut up, disturbing me, Katie, I will.
Stay away from that door. Stay away from that door.
That ain't no cat you got in there.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, yes, I lied. It is a cat. Just a cat. But I'll make it be quiet, but go away. Go away.
Wait a minute. Take it easy. If it's just a cat, what are you getting so excited?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Look at you. Your eyes are blazing. What's going on here? I think I'll have a look.
No, stay away. Oh, no. No. Get away. Take it away.
I told you. I told you to go.
Big one. If I only had me.
You'll never use it. Never.
Keep away from it. Help. Help.
I asked you to go, didn't I? I asked you to. Didn't I, Linda? You heard me. You heard me asking. Linda. Linda, what's the matter? What are you going to do? Linda, keep away from him. What are you going to do?
No, no, Linda. Get away from him. Linda, Linda. Stop. Stop. Ah! Oh, my eyes. My eyes. My eyes.
Blood in my eyes. I'm blind. Oh, God, have pity on me. Help me to find it. It must be here. I dropped it. Somewhere. You're back now. Pressing against me. Oh, God, let me find that gun. Here somewhere. Let me find it. Got it. Got it. Yes. Press close to me. I can't see you. Press close to me. I mustn't miss. There.
Press. Claw. What does it matter? You cursed animal. You've taken everything from me. My eyes, my life. Now I'll take. Linda! I heard my beloved. I heard you. I'm coming with you.
Wait for me, Linda. My beloved. Wait.
So there you go. There is Catwife, as presented by Lights Out. So, what do you think? I forgot to say up front that, of course, this featured the voice of Boris Karloff, who was very ubiquitous in old-time radio shows. He had a great voice and was sought after, I think, from a lot of these shows, and somehow he got involved with this one. I don't know, man. I really don't like this story. I mean, it's weird, it's crazy, it's insane. So it makes so many leaps of logic. I mean, even once you've established this absurd premise, it still goes in crazy, weird directions. The characterizations are all over the place. Even the normal stuff at the beginning where they're fighting and it goes back and forth in strange ways of conversation. I mean, it was interesting to listen to, but wow, these people really didn't like each other. And but they loved each other at the same time. At least he went back and forth with that. It was just so strange when he's like, "You're like a cat." And she starts laughing. And then as he keeps going, "You're a mewling alley cat." And then she starts saying, "No, stop, stop. Don't call me a cat." And then somehow, some way, she transforms into a cat person, a cat. She's a cat people. And I guess, you know, you kind of have to figure out, what does this mean? Did she just have a psychotic break where she thought and acted like a cat? But I think it's intimated later on when the psychiatrist shows up and evaluates her that she starts to get claws, right? And cat-like teeth. And so I almost wonder, you know, was this a very slow transition into a cat that eventually she would have gotten fur and a tail and gotten smaller? Or, I don't know, maybe she would become a big cat instead of a house cat kind of thing. I don't know. And I don't think Arch Obler knows. He, you know, I don't know how much time he spent writing this or how much he thought this through. But yeah, it's just got some gaping holes. And this man is psychotic. You know, I kind of enjoyed, okay, we have this strange, absurd thing that happened. How would you deal with it on a daily basis? He wanted to protect his wife. He didn't want her to become a science experiment. So he didn't want help from anybody. He wanted to hide her away in his apartment. But then he becomes enraged and kind of psychotic himself when the milkman is asking him why he wants so much milk. And the butcher is asking him why he gets liver every day and so much of it. And, you know, he's like, "Oh, you must have a cat." "No, I don't. I don't have a cat. What are you talking about? Don't say that." And gets mad at the butcher and then leaves without even getting the liver. Very strange. But the best part of the show, I think, is when the neighbor from across the alley shows up. The Irish police officer. You know, very stereotypical to have an Irish police officer, and very strong Irish. That was definitely a trope and a stereotype back then. But I liked that part of the show the best because it really kind of built up the tension. You know, you knew this guy had killed others in the past. And so if this guy pushed too hard or found out too much, he was going to end up killing this guy. And so then I felt the suspense. I felt the buildup. And their conversation was slow and it built upon it. And then he hears the meowing and you know how it's going to go. And so I really enjoyed that part of the show. But the rest of it, man, is just bonkers. It's crazy and strange, man. It's so strange. All in all, I don't really care for it, but it's so unique that it's worth the conversation, I guess. So I'd be interested to hear what you guys thought of this show. Were you rolling your eyes? Were you like tempted to stop listening to this show when all you heard was this meow or whatever? I guess, you know, she did a good job performing that, but it kind of becomes annoying. But yeah, it's just bonkers, you know. But the show, I mean, I don't know about this episode in particular, you know, but Lights Out became super famous, and you know, it's still talked about today as the building block of American horror. And sometimes the actual episodes don't live up to the hype of the show. But you have to remember, this is the first time people are doing this. You know, Willis Cooper, Arch Obler, these are the pioneers of audio storytelling that leads to television, video storytelling about these things. It's not the written word. It's not sitting around in a room telling a story. It's being presented to the public on the national radio. So, you know, I have to have respect for what they're doing and what they built. And all of these old-time radio shows are built upon that as well. You know, suspense didn't come around until later on in the 40s. But that's another show that was super successful for decades. But it owes its success to those that came before, like Lights Out. And so I may make an effort to put more Lights Out episodes out here, but I don't think any of them will compare with the craziness of Catwife. I've spoken of the other podcasts that I listen to, the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society. Those guys over there talked about it and, you know, had a lot of similar comments. But they made the point of you have to come at this as a horror comedy, as a dark comedy, instead of taking it straight on as a horror story. It's all tongue-in-cheek. And they speculated that perhaps Arch Obler was giggling to himself as he was writing this. I don't know, man. I mean, it is humorous, whether it was meant to be or not. It's pretty funny. The guys from the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society, I don't know if it's a monthly basis or, but on a regular basis, they go and they perform either adapted radio shows or ones they've written themselves, or just reproduce old time radio scripts live before an audience. And I've seen some of those recordings, and they did Catwife and it was so fun because you could hear the audience respond to what was going on. And it was really fun to see their production of this. Anyway, there you go. There's Catwife. And I am very, very interested to hear what you thought of this story. So please send an email to journeyintopodcast@gmail.com. Let me know what you thought. If you're on Patreon, you can post right there on the episode. And I'm kind of looking forward to bringing you more of these old-time radio shows. I have some things in mind for the next few. So, but if you have any requests, things you remember or want to hear, let me know. Give me some suggestions for old-time radio you want to listen to. But for now, I'll let you go on your way. And until next time, stay safe out there. And journey on! The Journey Into podcast is produced under Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives License, which means that you are encouraged to share this podcast with as many people as you would like. But please don't change it or sell it, and let people know where you got it from. You know, we are so spoiled today with on-demand viewing of any show that we want to, and streaming services that run old series 24/7 if you want them to. You know, back in this time, in the 30s and 40s, first of all, there was no television, it was only radio. But if they wanted to rerun an episode of their series, they would have to react it. They would have to reproduce the same audio. And so some scripts were reused over and over again, but it was a new production for that. So anyway,